The reading of God's Word from the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, the Word of God for the people of God. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise that I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and what is right. He will do what is just and what is right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. As is the case with many of you, spring is my favorite season of the year. Driving to church just this morning, I was overwhelmed with a cascade of colors, colors that would even make Picasso proud. The trees are budding and the flowers are blooming without question. Springtime is my favorite season of the year. In large measure, that's because the winter season is so dreary and dismal, and spring just happens to be the season that comes after winter. I know we live in the South, and down here in Birmingham, it doesn't get what we might call brutally cold, but it gets cold enough that by the time spring is on the verge of arriving, we are ready for it. We greet it with anxious anticipation. That note of anticipation is something that I think is embedded deep within us. It's a part of our DNA. It's something with which God has created each of us. It is a special gift, something that we cannot be without. You hear people today saying that time is the new currency. Well, not any longer. We've got all the time that we could ever have hoped for. No, it is anticipation that has become the new currency. How do we move past this dreary and dismal season to a better season, one that is yet to come? If there is no promise of a better tomorrow, then we are hopeless bankrupts. And our present is without any meaning and without any purpose. That really has been the case with us humans throughout the centuries, even as far back as to the time of Jeremiah. For the people in Jeremiah's day were ready for a better season, a better time. They had found themselves in a dismal and dreary place, and they were anxious for God to deliver them and to do something that only God could do. They were in a place where they had seen their future dying and withering on the vine, and they were ready for a better day to blossom and to sprout forth. This morning I'm concluding my sermon series on Jeremiah. And I smile when I say that because it may be one of the longest series that I have ever preached. We began it on the first Sunday of the year. And I will tell you, if I did not believe in providence before, I believe in it now. I believe in it even more today. And why this sermon series on Jeremiah has been so important for our church, I began it with the assumption that there were certain passages in Jeremiah that most of our people were familiar with. My guess is that if your back was against the wall and you had to quote one passage from Jeremiah, it would be Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you," God says, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so we began this sermon series on the plans for God's good future. But my concern is that while we knew of God's good plan, what we may not have realized is that sometimes God allows a season of testing to come upon us, so that during that season of testing, God might form us, and God might shape us, and God might fashion us for that good day, that promising future, that season of hope that God is preparing for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Our passage this morning comes from a section of Jeremiah's prophecy where Jeremiah is under arrest. He is in the courtyard of the temple guard. He is in the Jerusalem jail. That's where Jeremiah is. And what has Jeremiah done to find himself in such a place? He has angered the king, King Zedekiah. Zedekiah the king has become weary of Jeremiah's pessimistic preaching, and so he seeks to silence God's prophet. But God's word will never be silenced. God's word will always return to him in such a fashion that it will prosper and produce that which God intends it to do. Zedekiah is angry with Jeremiah because even a corrupt king like Zedekiah wants a future that he can anticipate, something that he can look forward to. But the only problem is that Zedekiah has squandered his opportunity. He has wasted the chance that God has given him to lead the people in such a way that everyone in the land of Judah might know the salvation and the security that God wills for his own. Yes, for Zedekiah and all of his cronies, everything has come up roses. But for the rest of the people, they are in distress. Their hopes are dashed. Their dreams are crushed. There is now a seen enemy, the Babylonians, who are outside the city gates and who are waiting to conquer the city and end life as the people know it. So God has instructed Jeremiah to offer these harsh words of judgment, not so much against the people as against their leaders. Their leaders have missed opportunity after opportunity, not just Zedekiah, but go down the list of the kings of Judah and see how each has forfeited the chance God gave him to lead the people in righteous ways. So now, God's word comes to Jeremiah, even in the Jerusalem jail, in a way that might give the people some indication that The season of trial and tribulation that is about to come upon them is something that God can use, something that God will use to draw His people back to Him, even though God's people may not be in a position to see it. God is at work. God is at work to do an act of salvation and deliverance that only God can do. Behold, behold, God says through His prophet. The days are coming when I will raise up a righteous branch. It will spring forth from the line of David. And He will rule over the land. He will do what is just and what is right in the land. Everyone will have an opportunity to experience God's favor. For He will save the people, and Jerusalem will live in safety. Our English Bibles do not help us to understand as perhaps we need to understand, that with this promise, Jeremiah is still not pulling any punches. There is a not so subtle criticism against the king and all of those kings who have gone before him, who have not done what God had given them to do. The word Zedekiah, the name Zedekiah, it was actually a name that had been given to the king of Jerusalem by the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. The name Zedekiah means in the Hebrew, "The Lord is our righteousness." Zedekiah, Yahweh. Righteousness belongs to the Lord. The Lord is our righteousness. So what Jeremiah was saying to Zedekiah is, you have not lived into your name. You have not been the ruler that God has needed you to be. The people have suffered. Justice and equity do not prevail in the land. So God is going to cut you off, Zedekiah. And in your place, God is going to raise up out of your stump a righteous branch, one from the line of David, who will do what is just and who will do what is right and who will grant every person in the land the opportunity to know salvation and to live in safety. What Jeremiah was saying to the people and what Jeremiah is saying to us is that whereas earthly rulers will never fail to disappoint, God is one who will always come through. God never fails. God never gives up. God never forsakes or abandons us, so that in every moment God is at work, even when we cannot see it. God is at work digging and shoveling and planting seeds of favor that by God's power and in God's time will spring forth to life. Regardless of how dismal, regardless of how distressing your present circumstances are, what God's word through Jeremiah wants us to understand is that we must always be looking past our present season, as painful as the present season may be, look past the present to the good future that even now God is preparing to bring about. Might that be a word that someone this morning needs to hear? Might that be a word that comes as God's encouragement to you? This is a confining time. You are not as free to go about your life as you were just several weeks ago. You're ready for things to change. You're ready for life to get better. You're in need of something to anticipate and a hope that will not disappoint. Understand that even in this moment, God is at work. God's promises do not fail. God's purposes are not frustrated. God will draw near, even in this time. And God will see you through. The problem that we have as human beings is that our default position is not one of anticipation. Our default position is one of pessimism. You've heard the old saying, what goes up must come down, and that's true. Gravity applies to everything in this life. You cannot cheat gravity, but what we tend to believe is not just what goes up must come down. What goes down will never come up, even now. Even now. That pessimistic spirit may be coloring the way that you view your investments. It may be coloring the way that you view your academics. It may be coloring the way that you view your business, your personal health, your relationships. What has gone down will never come up. But the God whom we worship and serve is a God who is capable, out of the greatest seasons of distress, look around, look around. God is able from the most dismal and discouraging of circumstances to cause things to spring up to life. I look in the Scripture. What's interesting to me when I read the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and certainly God is responsible for the beauty of this creation. We see the handiwork of God in everything around us. In the book of Genesis, at the very beginning, there is a garden. And in the center of the garden, there is a tree. The Bible calls it the tree of life. When you get to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and I know that the book of Revelation is one of those books in the Bible, if not the book, that we tell ourselves we can't possibly understand. But the truth of the matter is that the message of Revelation is very simple. God will win the day. And God will win the day through the Lamb, who is Lord of creation. And in the book of Revelation, at the end of the book of Revelation, guess what? There is another tree. And it is the tree of life that's full of leaves that give healing to the nation. And in the middle, in the gospel, there is yet another tree. It is a cross-shaped tree. It is the tree upon which our Lord Jesus, the righteous branch from the line of David gave his life for us and for our salvation. And even when at the cross it appeared that sin and darkness and everything that is dismal and distressing had won the day, God was at work shoving, digging, planting seeds of salvation that on the third day would spring forth to life. When life lets you down, it is Jesus who will lift you up, which is why in every season of trial and tribulation, people look to Jesus for the help and the hope that will always see them through. I'm reminded of the story of a community in South Dakota that experienced a devastating tornado. Those of us in the South, we are very familiar with tornadoes and how common they are, particularly in a season like this when the cold winds of winter give way to the warm breezes of spring. It's almost as if it's winter's last gasp to retain a grip and a hold on the affairs of humankind. It does not want to let go. Just last night, I awakened this morning to learn that last night we were under a tornado watch in Birmingham in Jefferson County, and certainly there was a greater likelihood of severe storms north of here. Community in South Dakota turned upside down. And among the devastation and destruction was the town's Lutheran church. The day after the tornado, the pastor of the church decided that she would take a walk through the community to see firsthand the extent of the damage and the devastation, and perhaps make herself available to offer encouragement and support to the many in the community who had experienced significant loss. She said the damage was unspeakable. Grain elevators twisted and collapsed. The town water tower toppled over so that there was no more water for the community. Cars and trucks that were strewn about like children's toys. Trees, magnificent trees that were on the verge of budding and blooming but had been uprooted and displaced and were now in places they were never meant to be. As she drew near the little Lutheran church that had also been destroyed by the tornado, she heard someone who also was walking in that direction and who had arrived at the church before she did. She heard someone saying, "Look, look, there is Jesus." As it turns out, in the church, there was a statue of Jesus by the altar, hands outstretched, a statue of Jesus that had served as a beacon of hope to that particular community of faith. And in the midst of the rubble and the devastation, someone had taken the statue of Jesus and had placed the statue on top of the rubble so that on top of the devastation there were the outstretched arms of Jesus offering hope to everyone who passed that way. Pastor wondered, who did this? Was it an act of God? As it turned out, there were two young girls who were working to help another family, neighbors to the church, helping them to go through the rubble to pick out precious possessions that they did not want to part with. And the two little girls had seen the statue of Jesus in the midst of the rubble and decided that it was important to lift Jesus up so that everyone who passed by could see him. In the midst of this present season of devastation, destruction, and damage of a very different kind, in the midst of this season, let us do the same. Let us be those who lift up Jesus so that Jesus might lift up others. His is a hope that will never disappoint, because he brings to bear in every season the power of a God who will not fail. The power of a God who is always about springing life up. The power of a God who will always see you through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.